Hey there, Gone Wild Audio. This is Swellogy, and this is the 100 followers question and answer session. first of all, I just want to give a huge shout out and thank you to everyone who is willing to listen to the antics of a girl on the internet. Because, you know, what else is the internet good for than to post erotic audios? You know what I mean? and so to commemorate, I currently have on a ultra hydrating cucumber essence face mask, and we're gonna throw in some beer as well. So that was the ASMR crack, and let's get started. All right, so first things first, you know, why did you want to do audios? And also, is this the first time you've done audios? I think, well, to answer the second question, yes, this is the first time I've ever done spoken audio. I have recorded myself singing a few times in the past, but, you know, that's for another audio. This one I'm just talking. And as for the first question, you know, why I wanted to post on GWA in the first place, getting off orally, so to speak, I feel provides a lot more freedom. It's a lot more freedom in terms of imagining a circumstance, you know, even picturing the partner who you're with at that time, as compared to, you know, visual pornography, where everything's just kind of in your face. And I think I first got into GWA from stumbling upon some audios on Literotica, and some of the users who post on GWA also posted there, and so that's how I eventually found this particular subreddit. It seemed really fun because it was a community of just normal, everyday people, you know, posting their fantasies and enacting what they found to be hot. And, you know, just having this community of people being able to enjoy and indulge in each other's fantasies, I thought was kind of wholesome in a way, honestly. It just seemed like a nice challenge. I do like to create things, you know, I like to sing, I like to draw, I like to write, and so being able to channel those creative impulses into an erotic medium was appealing to me, and almost rewarding in a sense to put something out there that you potentially thought was dirty, or that other people wouldn't appreciate, something that made you feel as though you were a freak for even becoming aroused at the thought of it, and then having that be appreciated, almost welcomed, and to learn that what gets you hot and bothered also gets other people hot and bothered. It's definitely a nice feeling of validation. I don't know if you can be validated for your fantasies, but you get what I mean. Honestly, the more I do them, the more I come out with different audios, the more I'm having fun with, like, the technical aspects of it, because you can approach an idea that you have from the first person, you can do it from the third person, you can present it as a scenario, you can narrate it through a ramble fap, you could just throw everything out the window and improvise. There are essentially just so many avenues that you could take to portray what it is you have in your head. So essentially you're writing, directing, you know, producing, doing the screenplay for everything, which is really exciting. I really enjoy that creative aspect behind it. Next question. How did you first become aware of / realize you were into a particular kink? Oh boy. I believe I was a pretty kinky child. It's of the internet, man. The internet is a dangerous place to be. I just remember finding porn. I remember finding porn on the internet and just thinking to myself, oh God, this is disgusting. But there was this simultaneous disgust and intrigue. And I think as time went on, the disgust aspect of it lessened and the intrigue increased, and the rest is history. I don't know what else to say. And then there's that whole, you imagine yourself in that particular situation, and if it really gets you going, then that's how you figure it out. I think the first one, to answer an unasked question, the first one would probably be, like, being blindfolded. Yeah, just the idea that you have sight taken away from you, and your partner can just be anywhere, doing anything, and you're not privy to the visual details, which in a way is kind of GWA-ish, because when you are listening to an audio, there's nothing visual about it. Yeah. Okay, next question, kind of a good segue from kinks, is how dirty are you? Winky face emoji. That's such a subjective question. If least dirty was conventional vanilla sex, and most dirty was, blood and urine and feces, I'd probably put myself somewhere in the middle. I like it a little spicy, but not to the point where I get the runs, so to speak. Next question is, worst date ever? Best date ever? Story of your first orgasm caused by someone else. That's a lot to unpack right there. We'll start with the worst date ever. I have to think about this one. The worst date ever, probably not from my perspective. I honestly don't think I've had the misfortune of going on a bad date. But if I had to pick one, it would be my first and last attempt at meeting someone from a dating app. It wasn't bad by any means, but it really just felt more like a job interview. It was a very clinical question asking of each other, and none of it felt romantic in the least. Yeah, I really don't have much else to say about it. It wasn't really juicy. It was just very sterile, if I can use that word. Next, about the best date I've ever had. I don't know if I can count it as a date, but it was a trip. I took like a 3-day trip with one of my exes. It was when I was living in Japan for a little bit. It was a trip to one of the lesser known areas, I would say. It wasn't a big city, it wasn't Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto. It was this little island called Naoshima in the Seto Inland Sea of Japan. And even though it's just this tiny, discreet, low-key island, it probably houses some of the most famous contemporary art that the world has to offer. So we stayed a couple nights. A lot of people do it as a day trip, but I really wanted to just enjoy that, small island vibe, spend a night there, enjoy the air, go to the museums. And it was fabulous. I loved it so much. The weather was perfect. Highly enjoyed it. Highly recommend it to anyone who wants to get a taste of small, quaint, rural Japan. Yeah. And the last one, a story of your first orgasm caused by someone else. It was New Year's, I think. Oh, yeah, it was. I remember opting out of the fireworks show. I had gone over to, oh man, this was like high school sweetheart ex. I had gone over to his house New Year's Eve for the countdown. And the plan was to watch the countdown with his parents in the living room. But of course, because I think they were having a party or something. I don't really remember. It was a house party. And obviously, you know, being the high school teenagers who we were, we snuck up to his room and we're kind of fooling around. This is gonna sound cheesy. But yeah, orgasm literally came with fireworks going off in the background. So it was a great way to welcome the new year. Yes, it was. Another question is if I have a crush on any other user in the GWA community. The answer is yes. I do have a huge crush on everyone who listens to me. Well, yes, you know, that is true. I really do appreciate all of you. You are all awesome, kick-ass people. And on top of that, I definitely do have a GWA crush. And I definitely will not say who it is. But this person really is the bee's knees. This person rocks my socks. And I don't want to say that I consciously mimic the way this person presents themselves in their audios, but it maybe does come through a little bit just because of, you know, if you get off by the way someone else speaks to you, then you might end up inadvertently imitating them a little bit when you're also presenting yourself. You know, imitation is the best form of flattery and all that stuff. The next question is deep. I genuinely had to think about this one a little bit before I answered, and it is, what's something you're proud of but never get the chance to talk about? And I don't mean to come off sounding super narcissistic, but I would like to say that at this point in time, at this point in my life, I'm relatively proud-ish of how far I've come. I keep telling myself that I need to be proud of what I have accomplished, because the only person I have at the end of the day is, you know, me, myself, and I. And it's better to go to bed as your friend than as your enemy. I think one thing in particular that I'm proud of is, well, it's actually kind of ironic. It happened earlier this year. I took a nasty fall. I mean, not like literal physical fall, but from a pride and dignity standpoint, you know, I hold myself up to pretty high expectations. And I realized this year, you know, after X amount of years of my life, I only realized this year, I really wish someone had told me earlier, that sometimes holding yourself to a high expectation is actually another way of limiting yourself. You know, what happens if you fall to this hypothetical rock bottom? Like, what is it that you're so scared of? You know, like, what, you have this phrase like, oh, you've like fallen to this. So, like, what happens if you do fall to that? I think I reached that bottom that I was so scared of my entire life earlier this year. And I realized that it really wasn't that terrifying. You know, life goes on. It wasn't a financial thing, thankfully. But, you know, life goes on. You collect yourself. You collect your pride. And you realize that the people who love you will still love you. And that you should love yourself more than what the you that you expect yourself to be, you know? And so I am proud of the fact that I let my pride shatter into little pieces and I pick them back up and, you know, just put myself back together. I don't think I'm quite at the point where I would like to actually talk about it with other people, because I'm still at a point where I'm reconciling all of these emotions within myself. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. You find out that you're human. I found out that I wasn't any more powerful than any of the rest of us. And it was humbling, to say the least. Okay, last question. You're in an open field armed with only a baseball bat. There is a legion of 10-year-olds wearing bike helmets. How many could you take down before they get you? Okay, I'm assuming that they're vicious 10-year-olds who want a piece of my mind. And, you know, honestly, I don't think I would take any down before they got me. I would just let them get me. I'm not one to bludgeon 10-year-olds in the head, even if they are wearing bike helmets. I'm sorry. I don't know if whoever asked that was anticipating a more violent answer. But I can't do it for 10-year-olds. I would do it for older people, but not 10-year-olds. Okay. And I think that that concludes my first ever Q&A. And thank you for listening if you made it all the way to the end of this audio. And I hope you continue listening. Thanks again for all the support. Kisses for you. And I'll see you later.